This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. If there's going to be a Democratic blue wave in November, a grassroots progressive movement called Indivisible will get a lot of the credit for stirring up political waters. The Indivisible movement took shape locally and nationally as a resistance to President Trump. GLT's Ryan Denham spoke recently to three members of the Indivisible McLean County leadership team, Susan Cortese, Patrick Cortese, and Carrie Calvert. Susan Cortese says her group is evolving. She says they've moved from a narrow target on Trump to a broader focus on local Republican congressmen and getting their own people elected to office.
And in the beginning, we were really focused on the ACA and the votes that were happening there. And now we've kind of evolved into how do we make a change and how do we make a difference in our community in regards to the votes that are happening on things like the ACA and the tax votes that were elected in this year.
Structurally, what's changed? Early on, I remember seeing Indivisible 13, Indivisible 18. Now I see Indivisible McLean County. Can one of you talk about sort of the structural morphing that the movement has kind of gone through?
When we first started in our training session, they divided us up into districts. And all the 13 people met together, and all the 18 people met together. And then people outside that district met to decide where they were going to go and what they would work on. And for a year, we functioned separately. As we moved forward, we saw that we were always together. We were always in the same room. We decided that maybe we should join forces. We aren't just Bloomington. We aren't just Normal. We're McLean County. And as McLean County, we need to fight together on those issues. Because what Darren LaHood does here affects the people in 13, just as what Rodney Davis does affects the people in the 18. And we needed to come together. And bigger was better for us. And we love these women that came on as leadership. They're smart, intelligent, well-spoken, and they had ideas that were going to help grow that our Indivisible team. And we have just been able to make bigger, better events because of it.
Patrick, where does this handbook written by some congressional staffers come in? It's called Indivisible, A Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda. What is that?
It provides us with a good game plan to be a good citizen. A part of being a good citizen is holding your elected officials accountable to make sure that they are reflecting your values, that your beliefs. So for us here in McLean County, I believe there's a large number of us that honestly don't believe that Representatives LaHood and Davis are truly reflecting the values and beliefs of us here in McLean County.
That handbook was core to the Indivisible movement in other communities. Was it important here too?
I think when we first started, we went to our first group meeting on January 21st. The same day as the Women's March, and we worked off that document to try and figure out how we can best channel our energies into holding our elected officials accountable. So I think it was really important. It gave us a really good basis and starting ground for how to get started. And then, like most organizations, it's very organic. We've grown and adjusted from that document since then.
Well, let's bring Carrie into the conversation. I think nationally, when people think about the Indivisible movement, there's a sense that one of the things it was trying to do was replicate the Tea Party's success. The Tea Party being this group that was formed during the Obama administration, fueled in large part by opposition to the Affordable Care Act. And I realize you would disagree on just about every issue from the Tea Party folks of 2010. In what ways are there parallels to what Indivisible has accomplished and what it wants to accomplish and the way that the Tea Party went about its business back in 2009 and 10?
They use some of the same techniques and structure. They just use it in a progressive format. You know, how the Tea Party got itself organized, how they moved forward, how they contacted their representatives, how they went to town halls. That's all very similar to what the Indivisible is doing. But obviously the agendas and the focus on the issues is completely different. And also, I think that they've also focused on us not attacking people. It's not a hostile movement. It's about really trying to reach out and as Patrick was saying, keeping our members of Congress accountable to their districts and not to special interests.
I dislike the comparison to the Tea Party because my impression of the Tea Party is that it was very obstructionist, that they seemed to just want to go against whatever they felt was happening in Washington, D.C., where I feel that Indivisible is more proactive and values-driven, results-driven. We're not obstructing for obstructing's sake. We honestly are trying to express ourselves and our values and our beliefs. And this is the best way that we know to be good citizens.
Does the Indivisible movement have sort of a shelf life? The Tea Party, for example, it was, you know, very hot for a couple of years. A couple of congressional cycles comes through, and you know, these days it's not so much of a tangible thing anymore. Do you see Indivisible kind of evolving beyond the borders of the Trump administration and, you know, and stretching and having a longer life that stretches past his presidency?
I think that is certainly a concern, but we've learned a valuable lesson that when we sit idly by in our country and we are just a spectator in politics, then things go wrong. Our voices aren't represented. I can tell you that in our local group, we haven't gotten smaller, and we haven't gotten to a point where people aren't involved. We've gotten bigger, and we've gotten stronger. Our leadership team we started with 22 members, and we realized that it would probably go down, but we have about 16 to 18 dedicated people that come regularly to make decisions and to decide what we should talk about and what will best serve the people of McLean County and what we want done progressively.
We realize that democracy is not a spectator sport, so some of us write letters to the editor, some of us show up and protest, and a lot of our members are now running for office. For instance, Nikita Richards was instrumental in starting the Illinois 13 group. She organized some outstanding events, and she's just a good leader. She has a way of bringing people together.
And now she's running for McLean County Clerk as a Democrat.
Exactly, because the issues that were important to her, voter access, equal rights for everybody, she thought the best way to affect that change was to do it from the inside. People like Jill Blair was part of our leadership team. Elizabeth Johnson was part of our leadership team. They all decided that for the issues that were important to them, the best way to do it would be to run for those offices and change things from the inside.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm in studio today with Carrie Calvert, Patrick Cortese, and Susan Cortese, all members of the Indivisible McLean County Leadership Team.
And Carrie, so you were part of the leadership group of Indivisible. You live in the 13th Congressional District. Can you talk at all about the moments and the days after Donald Trump was elected president, and what led you to this movement and to become what appears to be more politically active than maybe you once were?
Well, I always voted. It was always really important to me to vote. And that night, the election night, we went and we took our 18-year-old son to vote for the first time, and it was a big deal. And I cast a vote for a woman, and it was just exciting. And we went out to eat as a family, and we went home to watch the returns at about 10 o'clock. I said, I have to go to bed now. And when we woke up the next morning and what we thought would never happen had happened, I thought I have to do something more, but I didn't know what that was. And kind of what Susan and Patrick have said, you know, you realize it's not a spectator sport. It's not just about going and voting. You need to do more. And my children were older, and I was established in my career, and I thought, you know, it's time for me to start paying it back. So when I saw the announcement for the Indivisible meeting in January, I went. I had no idea really what I was getting myself into, but I raised my hand, and here I am, about a year later, and involved in doing things. I had never called a congressperson's office before. I'd certainly never gone to their office. I hadn't written a letter in a long, long time. But yeah, you just realize how much we lose when we're not involved and how important it is and how you really need to advocate for everyone in the community, not just special interest folks and not just people voting on lines that are being hurt. I mean, I have a public health background, and so much of what we see happening now is just horrendously awful in terms of what it's going to do to large swaths of our society. It's just harmful for no reason.
Well, Susan, in the past year, what do you think is the Indivisible movement's greatest local accomplishment? What have you accomplished?
I would like to say that we have supported people running for office, and that because of that, we have increased by 285% the number of people that are precinct chairman for the Democratic Party. While we're not just focused on the Dems, but that is pretty much, they hold the progressive ideals. We have, from our constituents and our membership, we have probably five people that have stepped up, maybe six people that have stepped up to run for office, and I am very proud of that. And we support their efforts moving forward. We show up at their events. We donate money to their campaigns.
Well, Patrick, you recently ran for McLean County Democratic Party chair, did not end up being elected. But during that process of running for chair, I once mistakenly called you the representative of the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. Not the case. You corrected me. You were a Clinton supporter, as it turns out. So can you talk about the political spectrum of people in the Indivisible movement locally?
Diversity is always a good thing, and it's fun being around people with a very diverse viewpoint. So in our Indivisible McLean County group, we run the gamut. I think there are people who you would guess they have to put in the left wing Bernie wing of the Democratic Party. But I think there's just as many of us who are a little more moderate, a little more centrist. What that diversity does for us, so when we get together and decide on our goals and our objectives, it's helpful to know and to hear what the different viewpoints are from our membership, so we're not getting too one way or the other, that we need to represent all the residents, and all the residents don't always think the same thing.
And what is the difference, in your view, between the Indivisible movement and the Democratic Party?
Which Democratic Party are we talking about? McLean County, state, national?
In this case, let's say McLean County.
The Indivisible Party in McLean County, Democrats, are similar in their viewpoints. I think similar in appreciating and trying to encourage things like diversity and equal rights for all and health care for everybody. I think those are core values of being a Democrat that are important to Democrats and Indivisible alike. I don't know that there's a huge difference between us right now.
What about nationally? Is the Venn diagram, does it look different?
I think so. I think the National Democratic Party hasn't done a great job lately of relating to the local voter, that they're still focused on national issues. They tend to kind of pick and choose their candidates, pick and choose their races. At one point, I believe it's Howard Dean was promoting a 50-state strategy, that every election is important. I would love to see us and the National Party get back to that, more of that kind of an attitude, where every local race, every state representative, every congressperson, governor's race is important. We lost that focus. We lost that. And I loved President Obama, but this was not his strong point. I will admit that. And we lost a lot of elections and a lot of elected positions during the time he was in office. And we've got a lot of making up to do.
Carrie, what do you think is the difference in the line between the Indivisible movement and the traditional Democratic Party? What's the utility of having them as separate entities, and how can one impact the other?
We're not a party, you know? We're not tied to party lines, maybe. And so that allows us to do things that maybe people who are locked into the party structure can't do. I think what Patrick said, we support that. You know, we are in general a progressive movement. But if there was a candidate from another party that was equally as progressive, I don't know that we would disagree about supporting that person. So I think it maybe allows us some freedom of structure, that in general we're aligned with the Democratic Party movement, but that doesn't necessarily negate us supporting a candidate that might be an independent or a Green or even a Republican. I'm kind of like Patrick. I'm more of a moderate centrist in my viewpoints, but occasionally you run across a candidate and you're like, I have to cross party lines to vote for that person. Because we're an organic organization and we're not really locked into a party structure, it allows us some freedom of and flow of movement for us to do things that perhaps other folks can't do because they're restricted.
Patrick, how do you plan to stay involved with the McLean County Democratic Party since it's coming up short in your bid to become chair of the party, a job that ultimately went to Eric Rankin?
I will continue to stay very involved and active and try and get as many Democratic candidates elected as we can. I was also elected as a precinct committee person, so that will be the bulk of my work. And we'll continue to support Eric and the rest of the executive committee and let's get as many Democrats elected as we can.
That's Patrick Cortese from the Indivisible Leadership Team in McLean County. He was joined in studio by Carrie Calvert and Susan Cortese, also with Indivisible Leadership. I'm Ryan Denham.
Patrick Cortese was recently named to the newly expanded executive committee of the local Democratic Party. He'll serve as communications chair. You're listening to Sound Ideas on 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.